I am fascinated, intrigued, and honored.
You may have done what they said you did, but
they are magnificent,
marvelous. You need to know that you're okay just the way you are.
Succeeded in you as a child.
What you've been through matters.
This podcast is designed for you.
Love on a mission in a world where human experience is lacking.
My name is Ginger Wilk, and we're here to talk about that which matters.
Welcome to That Which Matters. It's great to be able to come before you today and to have you just listen in on the thoughts that I have to impart. I really want to be able to have you go to a new level in your own personal growth. That's the purpose of all of this, is that you will grow, I will grow. We'll get healthier in our communities, healthier in our relationships, healthier in general. And I'm really, really thankful that there's an audience of people who are listening and who are responding and who are benefiting from this podcast. And I want to really focus today on an issue that has come up in a lot of the other podcasts in bits and pieces, and it is the topic of rejection. And I know it sounds like a very heavy topic, and we have covered a lot of heavy topics for sure. But rejection is something that impacts us on a fairly regular basis, whether it's something that we experience day to day or something that someone else experiences. It's around. We see it on movie clips. We see it on whether it's something on TikTok or whether it's something that we read about. We're constantly tuning in and seeing scenarios where a person has been rejected or where someone encounters that sense of not being accepted, not getting that promotion or that movement in their lives that they want. And it's a very hard thing to watch because we ourselves have been through it. And so we react strongly to it, whether it makes us sad or whether we have to turn off the television when it happens, because we can relate to it. We have a sense of compassion in that area. And I think it's important to take a look at where rejection can occur, how rejection can be imparted in our lives. And the first one is in the womb. And again, this is not a political discussion at all, but in the womb, there can definitely be words spoken or experiences that a baby is privy to as early as being in the womb. If we know that a baby can recognize their mother or their father's voices or somebody that's been in the home around that pregnant mom for a while, if they recognize those words or that tone or that voice, how much more can they pick up on whether or not they're welcomed? A baby in a womb can pick up on whether or not they're celebrated. When people are around them, are they touching the belly? Are they speaking words of life? Are they having an excited vocalization of all of the anticipation of this child coming? Or is there negativity? Is there a sense of, you know, not being welcomed, or the circumstances around this pregnancy being verbalized in a way that shows that there's stress and that there is, in fact, rejection? And so it's very, very important for those of you who are pregnant or plan to be pregnant, for the fathers and the caregivers of those who are with child, that you understand that your words and your actions around that baby can impact them really early on in their lives. It's not something that they're going to grow up and remember, obviously. They don't have memories, but they certainly can have the emotional memory of what occurred early on in life. Rejection can also come at any time during our lives with a parent or a person in authority. Now, again, it comes in other places, but a person in authority is very key. We had some episodes on authority in season one, which I refer you back to so that you can listen to those episodes and learn from that as well. But our parents, those who have raised us, our caregivers, are very, very key in giving us our first set of reactions as to whether or not they're pleased with us, they're dismissive of us, the strong reactions negatively, the positive reactions that come forth will definitely have an impact. And not only that, but the way that we're reacted to, or some of the rejection that we have with parents or authority figures early on, can carry over into our sensitivity to others in authority. We can have some real fears about being rejected by authority figures or overlooked by authority figures, or that authority figures are going to favor others more than us, because our early impressions are based around having been rejected, meaning what we present, whether it's our love that we present, whether it's our gifts that we present, whether it's showing our talents and our abilities, whether it's what we do in school, the drawings that we make or the projects that we create, or even suggestions that we bring forth, how we're responded to, whether we're well received and lovingly kind of, you know, talked to about these wonderful things, or whether we're responded to with laughter or poking fun at us or criticizing us sharply, is going to make an impression about those in authority later on. We can be rejected by peers, by friends, by enemies or acquaintances. And I've often said, when we've talked a little bit about some of the early experiences where people have been bullied or where people have dealt with shame and some of those things, remember that when you go to elementary school, it's your first set of years that you are literally with your peers more than you're with your own family. You are there 6 hours a day, and now all of a sudden, instead of an applauding parent or a sibling that is very fond of you and responds well to you, now you're with other people that you may or may not like, and there may be rejection that comes forth in that relationship. They may reject the way you dress. They may reject the way you talk. They may reject whether you're good at sports or whether you perform well in some of the other tasks. They might reject you for just no good reason at all. And so that begins to set a pattern in our lives as to the way that we see peers, the way we see friends, the way we see acquaintances, because we have had those experiences with those friends or enemies early on, even with our siblings. Siblings equal peers. They may be relatives, but it's people that are within our age bracket. And so if there's been rejection by peers early on, then we're going to be ultra sensitive later on to rejection by other peers. And it doesn't mean that one is going to lead to the other, but it definitely talks about the emotional kind of expectation that can occur. We can be rejected in romantic love. And I mean, I'll tell you, one of the things that I've realized early on, and I'm going to be doing an episode about young people, the younger generation, but romantic love is nothing to dismiss. Romantic love early on, when people are first falling in love and first in relationships, people tend to kind of like poo-poo it, you know? I remember when I was younger, they would use the term, oh, that's just puppy love, you know? And the more that I've studied it and the more that I've talked to people who have been in relationships early on, I realize that those are some of the most intense feelings of love and affection that people ever have in their lives, because when you first fall in love, it's reckless abandonment, right? You just open up your entire heart to that person. You don't know about being hurt. You don't know about being broken up with. You don't know about being deceived. You just open up your heart wide because you are experiencing these romantic feelings for the very, very first time. And so therefore, because of that, when that falls apart and there's a breakup, the feelings of pain and the immense rejection that goes along with it can be very overwhelming. Breakups with teenagers and young adults should be taken extremely seriously. Those are one of those things that are a high list of reasons for why people have suicidal ideation and why there's tremendous depression that can come over males and females. Early love. But we can all be rejected in romantic love, right? You can be rejected later on. You can be rejected within a relationship that stays a relationship and feel a sense of rejection, where you can be in the same home with someone and feel as though they are really not wanting or desiring you. They may be staying there, but it doesn't mean that they're wanting and desiring you and wanting to have that connectivity with you. There can be breakups and divorces and all sorts of things. I mean, I've watched some of the shows where you talk about catfishing and where people are searching and searching and searching for love. I've had clients that, you know, I know clearly that they're being catfished. They'll talk about the fact that they've been in this quote, relationship with somebody online, and all the red flags are there. And despite trying to really help them to see the reality of what's going on, I realize that the reason for their blindness is that they really want to be in love. They want to be loved. They don't want to look at the fact that this is a deception. They would rather believe that it's true, but really there is a deception going on. They would prefer kind of allowing this fantasy to continue than to think that they're not wanted, they're unwanted, they're alone, they're unloved. And these are the reasons why people cling to things that are not healthy or even get into bad relationships, because we don't want to be rejected in romantic love. We can also be rejected by losing a job, you know. It's a horrible thing. People lose jobs all the time. Sometimes it's just because of the economy, it's layoffs. Sometimes it's because of restructuring of companies or organizations. And sometimes it's because their performance is not right or they're not a right fit. But no matter what, losing a job is a very, very sore sense of rejection. The idea of, I hired you, I wanted you, this company brought you on, they gave you all your credentials, they gave you everything, a desk, whatever it was that you needed, and then it was all taken away. And in many places, it'll happen instantaneously. You go into a meeting and you leave, and you've already been locked out of your computer, you've already been locked out of your phone, you know, basically any of your privileges have been stripped before you even knew that this was happening. And so that's a very, very severe thing to have to deal with. And you can't really talk to people, you know, because, you know, the company basically locks you out. So that's very, very difficult. Or also rejection comes in from just not getting employment. I will often tell some people that I'm counseling with or whatever that, you know, to get yourself really ready and prepared when you're searching for a job, that you're going to have a lot of rejection, not because there's anything wrong with you, but because of the fact that if you apply to, you know, say 40 places, there might only be like 5, maybe 10 would be great, that are going to actually get back in touch with you or going to schedule an interview. You could apply to 40 and not get any responses. And sometimes no responses are worse than the actual responses that they would give you, which might be like, you know, we had multiple candidates, you were strong, but we decided to go with another person. Sometimes the silence is worse, because then you get to fill in that narrative of, you know, what's wrong with me? What did I not bring to the table? Why was I not chosen? It just leaves this whole open monologue that you can create about why you were rejected. And so it's a very difficult thing. We can be rejected by not getting promotions. You know, sometimes we think we're a shoo-in for promotions, but we don't get them. And sometimes it's because we're not ready for it and we haven't brought ourselves to that place of performance to be able to get there. Sometimes it's because of inner politics that are going on in places. Sometimes it's just because, you know, there's other people that kind of like are in line or that come in and are going to bring fresh air into a place. Not every company or agency wants to promote. Sometimes they want to bring in fresh eyes, fresh legs, because they're looking for something new to come in. And so it's very difficult. And if people expect a promotion and they don't get it, a lot of times they'll lose that enthusiasm for the role that they're in. And I want to caution you to try to not allow your issues of rejection to kind of contaminate what you're doing on a regular basis, because you're still contributing for sure. And eventually it will come. I always pray over my family in the morning. I say, God, give us advancement, abundance, and favor, because that's where it really comes from. And God is going to bring it maybe in a time, certainly in a time that you're not expecting, because we're never really on his timeline, but probably in a way that you're not expecting. Also, too, we can experience rejection from feedback concerning our looks, right? People will say things and, you know, sometimes they'll say things that are really, really hurtful and they don't mean to say something like that. They might talk about someone's body size. They might talk about someone's face. They might talk about, you know, something that they think might be obvious, like, oh, you know, well, you're a curvy woman. Well, to some people, that's like not an insult, but to other people, that is an insult. So it really depends on what your group kind of talks about and some of the terminology that's there that can be very commonplace in one group, but to another group can be insulting. And also, too, we have sensitivity about things that other people may not know about or may not have themselves. And so sometimes we can feel extremely rejected, especially if you're having that day where you just don't feel good about yourself anyway, and somebody says something. It also can come with feedback about our personality when people are trying to kind of correct us on things, whether they're doing it lovingly, whether they're doing it with sharp criticism, whether it's something at work that they're talking about or at school. And we can really feel rejected when people are sort of wanting to give feedback for whatever reason. Also, feedback concerning our accomplishments or our creative outlets. I mean, I always say I'm a creative person, more with performing arts, but if you're going to create something and you're going to put it out there for an audience, you need to expect that they're going to give you some responses, some that you might love and some that you might hate. But if we're going to display our creative outlets, we need to set ourselves up to understand that we're going to be getting feedback that it might be 100% wrong, but it's somebody's opinion. And so we kind of have to have a tougher skin, but most importantly, we have to understand that if I'm carrying this baggage of rejection along with me into these places, it's going to make it worse. We can be rejected by children. I'll never forget when I was bringing my oldest daughter, who I adore, I was picking her up from middle school one day, and she was, I think, just at the tail end of middle school, so eighth grade. And, you know, she was hanging out with her friends, and you would drive around the building, and then there would be this pickup, and it was pretty quick. You had to kind of pick up your kid and then just go. And all the kids would be out there, and parents would be driving through this, you know, kind of line. And I remember I drove through and I saw my daughter, but she was talking to her friends and I was kind of in a rush. And so I opened up my window and I yelled out her name. Well, oh my goodness. If looks could kill, I mean, her eyes could have slit my throat wide open by the way that she responded to me. And I remember, you know, she got in the car and, you know, she was so mad at me and I felt really rejected because we used to be, and we are today, extremely close. But that period of time was a difficult phase. And I remember feeling very rejected and I kind of, you know, sassed her back a little bit. And I said, don't worry, next time I pick you up, I'll have a bag over my head. And she said, that would make it worse. And so I thought to myself, I was really just kidding about the bag over the head, but like apparently everything is giving you some sort of, you know, stress about being around your mom. I'm not cool right now. And so I felt extremely rejected. And so that can happen. Our children can reject us. And it doesn't mean that they don't love us. It just means that sometimes they're at a phase in their lives where parents are not supreme anymore. We used to be, but maybe we're not anymore. Peers are more important. And so that's difficult. It can happen in situations where we set ourselves up for rejection as well as ones where we're blindsided. So sometimes we do set ourselves up for rejection. Sometimes we do. I mean, for instance, one of the things I have found about some women is that, especially in romantic love, they'll date somebody, they ignore the red flags, they end up in a really, really bad relationship. They finally get out of that relationship, and then they end up doing the same thing all over again because they don't want to be alone. They're afraid of being alone. So they end up in this next relationship that's bad again. And then when that one goes south, they end up in another relationship again. Not to say that this person is, you know, causing themselves to be in bad relationships. I think that what it is sometimes we're just setting ourselves up to get in them because we're still sad about what happened before. We're desperate to want to have that love and that acceptance. And so sometimes we just have to pause. And same thing with friendships. You know, if you've been rejected by a group of friends, you know, you might want to just kind of stick with individuals for a little bit. You know, that's one thing that I have noticed with a lot of people is, especially young people, is that they want to have this big crowd. They want to have this big group. They run in sort of like cohorts, right? But life is not about that. Life is about individuals. You build relationships with individuals, and you're much safer when you have a friendship with an individual because it's just you and them, and you don't have all of the opinions and the alignment of the other group members that can cause difficulty. And a lot of rejection that comes with friends comes because of groups, because a group dynamic can change in a second. A new girl can come to town, join that group, and everybody all of a sudden shifts. Someone can move away, and all of a sudden the group shifts. You could come one day wearing green, and they're all wearing brown, and the group can shift. So it's much safer to work with individuals so that you have a better control of that kind of interaction that you have. But so sometimes, you know, we're setting ourselves up for rejection, keeping those same patterns going. Other times we're absolutely blindsided. Like we literally are in a situation where we just had no idea that it was coming and it just came. The rejection was fierce. It was fast. And we were faced with something that was very, very difficult. We can also be rejected by, you know, even things like credit checks or even going to the store and using a debit card. And for some reason, you know, it got blocked or whatever. You overspent. You didn't look at your balance. Or maybe even just there was a fraud alert and it got locked down. But there's nothing more embarrassing than sitting there and zipping your card in and it gets declined, right? And it could be a million different reasons why it's happening. And none of them could have anything to do with you doing anything wrong. But the truth is that that's a rejection. It's basically like, no, we're not going to take your money. Even though everybody that works at a store knows that it happens all the time. Sometimes it's just a malfunction or whatever, but the feeling is I'm being rejected. I'm not good enough here. My money is not good enough here. And therefore, this transaction is not going to happen. Any type of loans or financial advancement, we can feel a lot of rejection in those particular areas. And that's something that we don't always think about. You can think about, oh, I can't get that loan, so I can't buy this car, or I can't get, you know, this approved, so I can't do this. We think about it in the financial realm, but you don't really always think about the emotional and what it does to us emotionally when you get rejected in that area. And any areas where we feel vulnerable is a place where we can potentially feel a sense of rejection, where we can set ourselves up for feeling rejected because we already feel bad about it. You know what I mean? Like it's one of those things that's there that maybe other people don't see. And it's just highlighted when we're in the presence of other people. And then God forbid someone mentions something even remotely around what you're insecure about and you feel that sense of rejection. And so, you know, some of the things that are important in really helping us to overcome rejection is number one, I think it's important to know, you know, we talk about Jesus. We just, you know, celebrated Easter, we celebrated Good Friday and all that goes along with it. And when Jesus was on the cross and he was dying, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And when you think about that quote, those words directly to his father, directly to God, what is he really saying? He's really saying, my dad, you know, however you want to call it, my father, where are you? Why have you left me? Why have you abandoned me? Why have you rejected me? Daddy, where are you? That's really what he was saying when he was on the cross. And because it was a time when God had to turn his face away from Jesus, he had to do that so that he could take the sins of the entire world on his shoulders. God had to do that because he couldn't look upon sin. And so Jesus felt the most intense and fierce rejection that anybody has ever experienced in their lives. So no matter how badly you've been rejected, and I've been rejected too, no matter how badly you've been rejected, there's nobody that's been rejected more than Jesus. And therefore, he's able to understand your feelings of rejection in all these areas because the one person that was always there, always on his side, coaching him through the whole thing was his Father, God the Father. Remember, it was God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit that were together at the beginning of time, right? So that closeness was there. They were one. And now all of a sudden that was ripped away from him in that moment. And while he was, you know, in hell and so forth, taking the keys of death away from the enemy, all of that was from a place of rejection. And, you know, people reject God all the time. God understands rejection. People reject him all the time because of whether they're angry at him for something that they think that he's done, or, you know, the thing I talk about all the time about how poorly he can be represented by others, where people create this image of God that is not accurate and make it seem as though God is his love is not vast enough to be able to overcome anything that we are or have become or have done. The false nature of the way that we present God hath caused people to reject God, and God deals with that rejection. So just to know that from the top, right, rejection has existed. And I think it's important for us to really know that number one, rejection is something that occurs in all those areas I mentioned, but also that everybody has dealt with it in some way. Believe me, we all look around and we watch stuff on social media and we think that our lives are unique, and they are unique, but we think that we're unique in the fact that that we've experienced some trauma that, you know, nobody else has experienced. Again, your trauma needs to be respected because nobody knows what you feel like, right? That's unique to you, unique to me. But I will tell you this, that I sit and listen to people on and on and on, over and over and over again, and rejection is a common theme among all people in some capacity. Some people just don't talk about it. You know, the popular girls in the high school that you think are have it all together, the people who are millionaires who you think have everything that they need, no matter who they are, no matter what they've experienced, people deal with the pain of rejection. Just to give you a quote, Jimmy Dean says, "I can't change the direction of the wind, but I can adjust my sails to always reach my destination." So basically what that's saying is that we can't change what comes at us, right? How we're rejected and responded to by people, we can't change that, but I can adjust my sails. In other words, I can stay focused on where I'm going because I know that I might not have, you know, the height that people think I need. I might not have the looks, I might not have the money, I might not have the education, but I'm going to adjust my sails to move towards the goal that God has given me, regardless of what people say. And if you listen to, you know, motivational speakers, most of them will tell you that, you know, they didn't have, you know, this particular trait. Everyone told them they needed, you know, to have a certain amount of money or education or whatever to get there, and that they beat the odds. You know, Paul talked about the fact that, you know, he really was a terrible speaker, you know, that he really didn't have, he was fearful. He dealt with that anxiety when he had to speak, but because of the boldness of God, God adding boldness that came from a spiritual realm to his natural realm caused him to be this wonderful apostle that changed and rearranged church as we know it for the good. And James Lee Burke says, "There's nothing like rejection to make you do an inventory of yourself." And that is true. I mean, we can actually do an inventory and we can take a look at, all right, what do I need to change? I didn't get into this school I wanted to go to. I didn't get this job. Let me do some inventory. Or if there is no reason to do inventory, we don't have to. But we can take something that's negative and we can turn it into something that's positive. This is my quote. I said, "Where one would think that the visual image of rejection is a despondent face, it is more depicted by claws and teeth." And the reason why I wrote that quote is because when we have gone through rejection, instead of us being sad and despondent, sometimes we develop claws and teeth. Sometimes we become people that become very jagged and become very combative. And I want to let you know that God is there to be able to smooth those edges and to be able to heal the pain of having been rejected and to heal you from feeling like you have to please everybody, because I'll tell you right now, that's one goal that we're all going to fail at, because we're never going to please everybody. It's only important that we please God, and God is going to receive us the way that we are, because that's the way he created us. And so I just want to let you know that although you've been rejected by people in love or in parents or in family, just like I said at the very beginning, you matter. You matter. You matter. And there is nothing wrong with you. I just want you to know that being whole is the most important thing. And I want to encourage you to do whatever it takes to get to that place. Thank you so much.
In collaboration with IML Productions, this has been your host, Ginger Wilk, with That Which Matters. Thank you for listening.